Good morning, good evening, whenever, wherever you may be listening from, and I am John Vogel. Welcome into the John Vogel Show presented by Anchor. This is the best place for you to start your podcast. No. Okay, so it's a new week. We just got through Saturday and Sunday and Monday and two games on Monday night due to COVID postponement. Kansas City Chiefs and the New England Patriots. Game was moved from Sunday, prime time, 4:25 Eastern time slot to Monday night at about 7 p.m. Eastern is when they kicked off, and it was a game. The Patriots miss Cam Newton dearly. And so hopefully he's doing better. Hopefully he's back very soon, and things are rolling. But, hey, guys, that's not what we're here to talk about. We're not here to talk about COVID. We're not here to talk about any of that. Not today. You see, today, we were supposed to have Justin Gamble on the show. And Justin Gamble works for NFL Draft Bible. He is a controversial figure in the NFL Draft, in NFL Draft Voices, mostly because his takes, as we call them, are generally not a part of the groupthink. There's a large, group of people. And as soon as someone, one of the leaders in the group, says something, everyone echoes it. And a lot of times, Justin is not that type of person where he echoes the group thing. So wanted to keep the NFL draft kind of focus. And so I was able to reach out to the site manager at DraftRight, my website. I started in October of last year. So I was able to reach out to Eric and get him on the show kind of last minute. He agreed to it. So we have a great conversation coming up where we get to kind of talk about some, not just, like draft right stuff, and but NFL draft content. So that's what a lot of people are here for. It's delivered. You've got a whole week where we're going to kind of be talking more about NFL draft with the guests, because Justin will be on the Friday episode. All right, so let's start out the conversation today with college football. And the reason that we're going to start with college is because there's a rule to this show. You have to like college football to listen to this show. That's it. I'm the host. I make the rules. If you don't like college football, you can't listen to this show. All right, well, maybe it's not like that, but you get what I'm saying. So we're going to start with the college football, and we're going to talk about a team for the second straight week, Mississippi State. And we're going to talk about them this week for the absolute opposite reasons of why we talked about them last week. So let's get into it. Mississippi State last week upset LSU, the defending national champions, on their own turf, 44-34. Mike Leach's first SEC game. His first. With a brand spanking new quarterback and his shiny new offense, flew to high powers. KJ Costello setting an SEC record, 623 passing yards, 5 touchdowns in the win, and just made the Tigers look lost on defense. It was not at all anything that I expected to see. And a lot of national pundits were with me on that. No one expected this. This was out of the blue. And so this week, Mississippi State, with their 16th ranking in the top 25, took the field to play Arkansas, who most people projected to have a 0-10 record at the end of the year. Arkansas has been a bit of a mess. And it's not, they have a brand new head coach, brand new couple offensive coordinators, offense and defensive coordinators. We're going to talk about them a little bit because they're going to come up. But new systems all across the board for these players, and a new regime trying to establish, their culture. And so that's what's going on at Arkansas. A lot of people didn't expect them, outside of Arkansas fans, to be competitive. And week one, they were competitive against Georgia for the first half, before Georgia just dog pounded them. But that's the thing, is they came into this week and they played pretty well. Now, you can see the mistakes. They made, don't get me wrong, they made a lot of mistakes, but they forced a lot of mistakes on Mississippi State too. The thing that you have to understand about Mike Leach offense is they literally run the same five plays all game on offense. And they focus on perfecting those five plays, and there's enough variety in each one of those plays that makes them difficult to defend. Okay, so what I mean by that is basically you have different route combinations that you're running that allow you to attack any point of the field on any play. And so a defense is forced to defend every bit of the field that they possibly can. And that's what makes this offense difficult to defend. That being said, Arkansas had their number. And it was crazy because Arkansas upset them 21-14 at Mississippi State with the cowbells tolling, if you want to call it that, more like racketing. The couple things to take away from this Mississippi State fans and SEC people in general, this is who Mike Leach is. This is what I expected to see last week against LSU. But go through Mike Leach's career. Yes, we applaud the man. He is a genuine person, a very likable person. He is an awesome guy. I think his humor and satire, it's a very dry sense of humor, definitely, you know, it gets attention. He does well on the recruiting trail. He gets people. He seems to get these quarterbacks, and his recruiting pitch is just brilliant. It's, hey, you want to come to my school and lead the nation in passing? I mean, he's done it again and again and again, so you can't argue with him, right? But here's the thing, is the consistency week in, week out on the offense, this is the problem. And this has been Mike Leach's Achilles heel. And it usually comes in the bigger games, when Washington State, you know, would pull off a big run and start, and they would be, you know, they would break into the top 10, and, you know, they'd be threatening. That's the thing, is they wouldn't threaten, especially in a big game. And sometimes even against unranked opponents, as soon as they hit the top 10, it's like there's a stone wall, and that inconsistency factor kicks in. They lose games. All right, so Mike Leach is going to lose games because of his scheme. It's going to happen. Arkansas's been very impressive so far this year in the first two games. And a lot of that has to do with, it's not just their new head coach, Sam Pittman. Sam Pittman is a good part of it. But you have to look at his coordinator hires. He brought in Barry Odom on that defense, who was just at Missouri as the head coach for the previous few, you know, 4 years or so. And Odom is a very, very good defensive coordinator. That's why he got the head coaching job at Missouri, because he was their DC and he was good at it. Kendall Briles is the offensive coordinator at Arkansas. Kendall Briles is one of the more innovative minds when it comes to offense. So you already have Sam Pittman, who, you know, is a good motivator and does well to keep his team focused. And now you have two really, they're borderline elite coordinators. And that's why Arkansas saw the success that they did on the field, is because these guys are figuring out how to use these players, how to scheme things correctly, and get produced results on the field. And they've done that. They did that against Georgia in the entire first half. It was incredible. They've got Felipe Franks as their quarterback, the transfer from Florida, who has done literally nothing his entire career except make mistakes in key moments. That side is still, it's still there for sure, but he's doing something at Arkansas. You know, so there's, you look at this SEC West, and you have to wonder who's going to drop out of it. You know, it sure as hell ain't going to be Alabama. Alabama's been very good. They're not going to drop to the cellar. But you say you wouldn't think it would be, you know, an Auburn. But you've got all these great coaches over there now. You know, on the west side, you've got Mike Leach at Mississippi State. He's a very good coach. I wouldn't say great. A very good coach. You've got Lane Kiffin. He can be a great coach. He's at Ole Miss now. Sam Pittman at Arkansas. Gus Malzahn at Auburn. Saban at Bama. You start to look at this division in this conference, and you're kind of like, who can fall? Oh, Fisher, Jimbo Fisher at A&M. And the guess who's the odd man out? And I hate to say this because I love this guy. The odd guy out here is Ed Orgeron. You just have to wonder who's going to be at the bottom of the SEC West. All year, we assumed it'd be Arkansas. Now, we're kind of scratching our heads going, Arkansas might be competitive. They might win more than one or two games. They might be really good. It's not going to be an over. It's not going to be an overnight turnaround, but they might be really good. They might be really tough to take down. So, as you look at the two-year projected future, the three-year projected future, who's the odd guy out? And I hate to say it, it's Ed Orgeron at LSU. And I love Coach O. He is the odd guy out. I really hope LSU doesn't fall. I really enjoyed watching LSU during that run. I really liked watching them against Mississippi State. They've got a great defense. They have potential on that offense. That's just the facts. And I hate to say it, but it is the facts. If these guys all pan out, which so far we're seeing massive improvement from Ole Miss, we're seeing that pretty good improvement, you know, obviously from Mississippi State. Those guys aren't going into the cellar. If Arkansas doesn't, who is? It ain't going to be Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M, that's for sure. That is for damn sure. All right, when we come back here on the show, Eric Hindenburg will be joining us talking NFL draft. Following that, probably have a little bit about NFL stuff. We'll get into that coming up next here on the John Vogel Show. Guys, do you like the John Vogel Show? Well, listen, John Vogel Show is always looking for your support. So if you haven't checked it out already, be sure that you subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Turn on notifications and get notified every time a new podcast episode drops. Next, check out anchor.fm. Check out our listener support section. You can directly support the show right there. Also, John Vogel Show has a Patreon. So if you're interested in contributing there, be sure to check that out at patreon.com/John Vogel Show. This is the John Vogel Show. I hope that I thank you for your support, and I hope you continue to listen here in the near future. Welcome back into the John Vogel Show presented by Anchor. And today, it was a little bit of a patch job I had to do. I was going to have on Justin Gamble. He's postponed to our next episode. So I'm really glad that I have friends, you know, out here in this industry that I could just reach out to and say, hey, can you get on the show real quick? And today it's Eric Hindenburg, the site manager at DraftRight, and now with Neutral Zone Infraction. How are you doing today, Eric?
I'm good, John. How are you?
It's been a long time since we've done this, so let's see what happens. Now, I did have to hype it a little bit on social media, as you saw, and I'm glad that you helped kind of push that a little bit. Because there's this whole narrative that we hated each other, and I think that's really funny. But tell us what's going on at DraftRight, man. You know, you're the site manager there now, in good hands. Tell us what are you guys planning on doing over this season and getting into draft season?
Yeah, I'll touch on that narrative a little bit too. It's funny because a lot of people asked me what happened and I told them, and yet the narrative, you know, kind of continued to get twisted. I mean, me and you never had any personal issues with each other. You know, I didn't steal your website away from you.
Hijack. I almost introduced you like that. I was almost like, Eric, the man who hijacked my website from me.
I know. I mean, damn. Like, okay, me and you haven't always seen eye to eye on everything. And I've told you more than once, I think, you know, sometimes foot and mouth. But bottom line, and if you're listening to this, folks, me and John are still friends. And if I thought John was a racist, that wouldn't be the case. So the narrative will be the narrative, but me and John are good. As far as draft right goes, it's been a little slow right now, a little bit of a hiatus. It's been a really, really weird time to try to cover football because there for a minute, we really didn't know if there was going to be football. And then there was kind of football and kind of not. But now we have football again. So we are once again producing content. We are going to have a Patreon set up soon. I've got a merchandise shop set to drop here soon, hopefully. We got a great team over there. You know, most of those guys were still in place when you were still running the show. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we're going to have a full length draft guide. Our big boards just came out, our preliminary big boards. So it's going to be really good. We've got a lot of big plans. We're going to be represented down by the Senior Bowl by I know myself and hopefully at least two or three of the other guys. So I'm excited.
That's awesome. Draft Ride will always be my baby. So always like to keep up with things that are going on with it and retweet you guys stuff when you put it out as much as I can. So let's talk a little bit about Neutral Zone Infraction too, because you've recently got involved with them now. And I'm on the background. I'm kind of the website designer that you've seen all the bitching about from Michael Telford on his social media. But tell us a little bit about how you got involved with that and what that's looking like right now.
So with Neutral Zone Infraction, it's kind of funny because I knew that Chibs, you know, Telford wanted to kind of do his own thing. And he's still going to help out at Draft Right. But he was ready for his own thing after the whole fallout with RSR or whatever the hell it was. And, you know, he launched this cool thing, you know, representing all 32 teams. And I've been an NFL fan much more passionately than a college fan. I follow college ball for the draft. That's really it. I much prefer watching the NFL game. And for a long time, I knew that I didn't need to cover my own team because of my own biases. Mm-hmm. But now I'm in a spot with football where I'm not a Jacksonville Jaguar fan. I'm a football fan. And the Jaguars are kind of like my soft spot. You know, I'm from Jacksonville and I will always root for that team. Yes, I am a fan, but objectively speaking, I can cover any level of football without bias now. And so it was a chance for me to cover the NFL, continue to grow as a writer, and also cover my hometown team. So it was a really cool opportunity. Super thankful for Chibs for bringing me on. And it's actually gone really, really well. Believe it or not, up until I missed this last week because of a family situation with Jaguar articles, I was actually getting the most clicks as Jaguars readers were reading more than the other teams, including the Ravens. So good job, Duval.
Man, that's something too. Cause so Telford approached me about that and he was like, I had kind of reached out to him cause he was asking a lot about web design and stuff. And so I said, hey, what are you trying to do? He's like, I want my own website. And he was initially trying to start it as like a Ravens only thing, but so many people got involved. I think he had like 200 applications in the first 24 hours after he dropped a freaking, you know, tweet about, hey, who wants to write about football? Like 200 people reached out with interest and it was insane. And he realized he was in over his head. So I got involved with that. It did take off and it's really cool. Anytime you're watching a football game and I get on Twitter now, and there's a Neutral Zone Infraction penalty, my timeline just lights up Neutral Zone Infraction. It's awesome. You know, so there's already a little bit of a fan response to all that too.
It's taken off. I mean, it's doing really, really well and I'm thoroughly enjoying. I've always struggled with consistent draft content throughout the year because until the games get played, there's really only so much you can do without having to do extra work. And anyone who knows me knows I'm not about that life. So, yeah. No, I tend to bide my time and work in spurts in the NFL, and covering the Jaguars with NZI has really given me a chance to, like I said, continue writing, grow as a writer, covering the game from a different perspective. So, yeah, it's going really, really well. It's not going to hinder draft right at all, but it's just another avenue, and I'm really enjoying it. I've got to talk to some really, really cool people. So it's exciting stuff. I'm really happy for Chibs that it's going as well as it is.
All right, so let's get on to NFL draft here, because now we're caught up a little bit on your career and everything going on like that. The NFL draft is in a very interesting situation, just simply because it's coming off of the first virtual draft, obviously. And now you have this coronavirus pandemic that has postponed college football seasons, you know, so everything's getting pushed back. The playoff is ultimately going to get pushed back. So I guess, what are you kind of hoping to see the NFL do with the NFL draft moving forward at this point?
I'm hoping that they push the draft back till June, because I know that's a possibility under the CBA. And I think that if the NFL is going to do the right thing by these players, they need to space stuff out. They need to space out the pro days. They need to give themselves leeway with the combine and with the special events, you know, the Shrine Bowl, the Senior Bowl, and stuff like that. Push the draft back, work with the NCAA and say, yeah, these guys have an agent, but because of everything that's happened, let them go back to school. And I think that this year needs to be the year that the NFL and the NCAA kind of collectively say, if you declare for the draft and go undrafted, you can go back to school. I would really like to see both of the organizations do the right thing by the players, which will probably not happen. But at the very least, the NFL needs to do its part and push the draft back and give themselves as much time as possible to make this as smooth as it can be.
All right. So is there been anybody in the games that you've watched so far this year that has popped off the screen at you that you didn't have your eyes on to begin with?
Skylar Thompson. I'm going to talk about him a lot coming up.
Kansas State quarterback, for listeners. We haven't touched on that, on him or Kansas State at all on the show.
Well, it's Kansas State, so I don't blame you. But kid can play. And what he did against Oklahoma was impressive.
Now, you texted me. You told me to watch. I haven't looked at him yet. I'll be honest. This last week, the amount of football that I watched was almost zero. It was one of the craziest weeks I think I've had in a long time. I didn't watch it. Literally from Monday night when I watched the Chiefs play the Ravens to Saturday afternoon when I turned on college football. I did not watch. There was not really any time that I was able to squeeze in to watch football at all. And it was weird. But you did text me right after that Oklahoma game. You're like, man, I hope everything's good. Check out this guy. And I'm like, oh, that's why he texted me. So tell me a little bit about Skylar Thompson. And what kind of a player am I looking at when I turn on his tape?
You're looking at an athletic, gritty guy who can make plays with his legs and with his arm. He's not refined or special in any way, but he does everything well. He's accurate. He's got a nice live arm. He's super gritty running the ball, and his team believes in him. I mean, they're an unranked team playing at the time third-ranked Oklahoma, and they were down big early. And that team, they never quit, and it was in large part because of him. He hangs in the pocket. He usually makes good decisions, and he usually delivers an accurate ball. I'm not touting this guy as a first-rounder by any means, but I'm saying that this is a name to keep an eye on, especially long-term. And with this quarterback, he can really emerge, because it's a weird class.
You nailed it with Gardner Minshew a few years ago. I mean,
thank you.
Minshew, you know, through, I think he's played, 16 games now in the NFL, right?
16 games, 3-1 touchdown ratio, fourth quarter comebacks, and completing almost 67% of his passes.
Yeah, he's doing a phenomenal job, and that's not an ideal situation playing in Jacksonville the last 16 games either. So no. He's doing a phenomenal job. You nailed it with him. You know, that was one of those guys that you were touting and that you've very pridefully touted, and rightfully so. So are you thinking that Skylar Thompson might be one of those Gardner Minshews out there, or is this a little bit different?
It's too early to tell. Right now, this feels like someone who can definitely be that caliber of player, but he's a completely different style of player.
Mm-hmm.
So I've really got to see how he does this year before I can make a determination on that. But he's definitely going to be one of my guys going to the draft that's like, hey, you know, I don't know when he's going to be good, if he's going to be good right away. He's a football player, and I want him on my team. He's that guy.
So he's not draft. The guy I'm about to bring up is not draft eligible, but he still came into the season as one of the top names people wanted to watch for the future. And because you've mentioned Oklahoma, I think it's worth mentioning Spencer Rattler. You watch that game, Kansas State, Oklahoma. Oklahoma is now 1-2, and Spencer Rattler seems to be getting a lot of the blame. Is that rightfully so? What's holding him back?
I mean, he's getting a lot of the blame, and I guess that is deserved. It's youth, man. It's inexperience. He's not played a lot of ball, and he's playing at a much higher level than he was before now. So he's definitely got all the talent. He definitely has an incredible arm, and he's definitely got a bright future. But a lot of people were crowning this guy as already better than Jalen Hurts, than Baker Mayfield, than Kyler Murray, saying that he was going to surpass all of them. And that was so premature, and it showed, because he's still getting confused by defenses. He still lets the ball get away from him. You know, the mental side of the game has not caught up to the physical side. And Oklahoma fans, that's okay. And he's young. He's going to get better. He's going to be good. There's going to be growing pains. And until Oklahoma can play defense, yeah, he's probably going to lose a few games with interceptions, but if they could stop a nosebleed, he wouldn't have to be in that position.
So I rag on you a lot about Florida State and your love for Florida State. And you've always had this soft spot for those Florida State guys coming out. And I was ragging on you earlier this week, you know, and texting, and made mention, because you mentioned Marvin Wilson, Tamorian Terry, and I don't want to say his name because I will slaughter the safety. Now, where do you have these guys ranked again in terms of position?
You forgot one, too, and that's Asante Samuel Jr.
Okay, my apologies.
Yeah, I don't dispute that they're a dumpster fire, but it doesn't change the fact that they've got four bona fide top 50 NFL talents. So, hey.
Top 50 NFL talents, everybody. There's four of them at Florida State.
Hey, there is. I'll make a friendly wager if I need to. So Marvin Wilson.
I will
Wilson,
hit you up after this.
Okay. Marvin Wilson is interior defensive lineman one. Not only that, he's the best defensive player in this draft class. Point blank, period, full stop. He's an animal. Tamorian Terry, I have him currently at wide receiver four, behind Bateman, Chase, and Waddle.
Okay. So just real quick, here's an interesting question for you. Would you take Waddle or would you take Chase first?
I was on Buddy Andrade's talk show earlier, and I said Chase at two over Waddle. It's only been a few hours later, and I'm ready to say Waddle over Chase. They're so close. The fact that Chase isn't playing this year ultimately means I will probably rank Waddle over him. Whether that's a slight or not, whether that's fair or not, I don't really know. All I know is Waddle's getting better every week, and he is ridiculously good. So is Chase, but recency bias is a thing, and I recognize that.
That is true. I've seen some people saying this here recently, and we have a guy that comes on the show, Blake Ruffino, who is a absolute great LSU insider. Anything Louisiana football, this guy knows about, and it's insane. And it's not just, you know, it's the Saints, it's high school, LSU. This guy, he has so many connections, it's ridiculous. But it was funny because he loves Chase. He thinks Chase is a top five player in this draft. And I wouldn't go this far as to say that yet. And now that I'm seeing this Waddle type stuff kind of kicking in, and Waddle has been incredible this year, don't get me wrong. I just had to get that opinion on that. But anyways, I'm sorry to continue with your Florida State.
You know, that's fair. I don't have him a top five player, but he's really good. Hamza Nasruddin, I have at safety 3, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And Samuel, I have as corner 4.
Now, I'll give Samuel credit. I saw him against Georgia Tech. I think he picked off that – I can't remember the Georgia Tech quarterback's name right now, the freshman guy.
Who looks really good in his own right.
Oh, he has me. It's like shades of RG3. It really is. And he's even wearing the number 10, so it's really easy to confuse those two. But shades of RG3, 110%. But, no, I saw Samuel pick him off, and Samuel's – you know, if he's anywhere near the ball, he's a threat.
Yeah, that was the big question he had entering this season was his ball skills, and he actually had 2 against Georgia Tech, and he's got 1 since.
Mm-hmm.
So him and Nasruddin both are really, really good players in that secondary. That team's culture is just broken. I don't have an explanation. They have so much other talent too. I mean, you look at that roster. And you would think that you or I could coach them to an 8-win season. I mean, there's no reason for them to be bad because they're so talented, but they're so bad.
It is one of the strangest things I think I've ever seen. I don't want to get too political with it because people know how I feel. And you know, apparently this is where I'm racist. But there is something wrong with the culture, and it starts with the leaders. And Marvin Wilson is one of them, you know. And I think... I still firmly believe that the way that he approached that situation earlier this year was not a great way to go about that. You know, well,
I got mixed feelings on it because he's beloved in that locker room and he's beloved in Tallahassee and he's never been in trouble and he's a great character guy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but whole another can of worms.
Fair enough. I do think you can be a good character guy and you can still make mistakes with relationships, you know, and your first year head coach. Probably not a great way to go about that, especially when you're trying to figure him out. Regardless, that's about all the time we've got tonight for Eric on the show. Thank you for last minute coming on here and getting a chance to catch up a little bit and talk some draft.
Yeah, it's been a while. We'll do it again.
Yes, sir. And hopefully it won't be a last minute. Hey, Eric, can you help me out?
Absolutely, John. I hope everything goes well for you.
Appreciate it, dude. Take it easy.
You too, man.
Welcome back into the John Vogel Show. Anchor is the best place for you to start your podcast. They present this show. Check out anchor.fm if you're looking to start a podcast, because I'm telling you, they make it so easy. They set you up with all the sponsorship deals that you need, and you start to make money instantly as soon as you start a podcast with Anchor. So check it out. If you want to start your own podcast on anything, do it, and do it with Anchor. All right. Let's get into a little bit of NFL before we head out. I do think that we need to clarify this position again. Again, I feel like I do this all the time. But this conversation, if you look at the last 3 conversations that we've had on this show, it stirred up some shit. And that's just straight up. We had Amory Castillo, who is a phenomenal talent in her own right. She does a great job. She's on Vikings Brawl. If you haven't listened to that episode, go check it out. We talked about women in sports and what is really hurting women in sports. And that was controversial. But it's facts. And you see it. And there's a lot of people, I think there's a lot of women in sports industry. I'm not saying all women. I'm saying there's a lot of them that they do this, and they harm themselves, and they harm other women in the industry. So if you haven't heard that episode, go back and listen to that. Then we had Zach Moore on here talking about cancel culture. Zach Moore's episode, the first 2 days, became the second most listened to show ever on this podcast. So apparently that's what people needed to hear. They wanted to hear about. Now, I knew that episode was either going to be really good It was going to be really bad. And I told Zach this on the show because people put Zach and I in the same box together all the time on social media. They just associate the two of us whenever they think about, you know, I guess conservative sports people. Zach Moore, John Vogel pops in people's heads. And so I knew that they was either going to create an intrigue because we're actually on a show talking, or it was going to be completely ignored. And there was an intrigue. You know, so we talked about cancel culture. That was controversial. So the last few episodes of the show, we stirred up shit. And here I am stirring up shit again, because this is the point that I'm trying to get across. I don't have a problem with a lot of these football players, and I know the NFL doesn't either, taking these social justice stands that they are in college. That's not the issue. The issue is you are in a business relationship with your coach, and you want to see these players in college demonstrating professional qualities while they're in college. Now, let's talk about relationships for a second, because this is important. This isn't just romantic relationships. Everybody always thinks romantically when you say the word relationships. This is like business relationships. This is personal relationships. This goes into many different sides, but in a relationship, you can make mistakes. Everybody does. You can be a very, very high quality character, and you can still make mistakes. A mistake that someone in the relationship with you doesn't realize, misunderstands what you're trying to do, what you're trying to say, or just you make a mistake. You fuck up. It happens. All right, so Claire, because I have to clarify this position all the time. My issue isn't with people making social justice stands. My issue is the way that they go about it. So, great example. And this is, people say that I hate on Chuba Hubbard. I don't. But Chuba Hubbard got up, called out his head coach for wearing a t-shirt. So I couldn't care less if you're wearing a t-shirt. The t-shirt didn't say I'm racist as fuck. It didn't say fuck black people. It had OAN on it, which is a news network. You may not agree with a lot of the things that news network says, but it is a news network. He could have been wearing a CNN t-shirt and offended a completely different group of people, but he didn't. All right, so I didn't think that was a big deal. Apparently, that was a huge deal to him. He called out his head coach, goes on social media, takes off. Now, he apologizes. 4 hours later for going about it the way that he did. That was the mistake that he made in a relationship, was he didn't confront Coach Gundy and say, hey, do you know what that news organization says about people like me, people, black people? He didn't try to have a conversation like that. He took it straight to social media, created this big controversy. I mean, I'm glad they're 3-0. It's not going to last long. There's issues still going on over there. They're trying to work through it, but there are still issues. You know, so there's this level of trust that's broken when you do something like that. When you take something public and go on social media and say something. There is a certain level of trust that is broken, and it needs to be repaired. That takes time. That's part of any relationship. And that's the same thing with Marvin Wilson. I'm sure Marvin Wilson's a high character dude. Well respected, especially around Tallahassee. I'm sure of that. You see it. But here's the thing. He broke this trust with his head coach because he didn't confront his head coach, calls him out. This is the issue. I don't think it is professional in a relationship at all to take your squabbles and go on social media. That is just the same as an ex going on social media talking about your dick size, how it's tiny, and because of that, you're a racist POS. That's the kind of shit that this brings on. And it is the same level. And that's my problem. I respect the guys. If they stand up for something that they believe in and they believe in strongly and they think needs to change, and it probably does, I respect the hell out of that. What I don't respect is you trying to shame people on social media into that cause. And that's what goes on social media all the time, and I can't stand it. But anyways, getting into a little bit of NFL stuff, because this is kind of important, all right? The Rams played the Giants this week. It's a game that I covered. Wasn't there in LA, obviously. I live on the opposite side of the country, not going to go out to LA to watch the Rams play the Giants. Just not my cup of tea. But I did cover the game from my house, social distanced, and kicked back and really enjoyed the game. Now, it was a defensive slugfest. It was tough to watch at times. And I think one of the big takeaways, I just put a 1,200-word article out on this one play from that game. If you hadn't checked it out already, check it out. It's at the Ramblin' Fan, talking about the extraordinary abilities, how, you know, they beat the defense that was called, why the play call was brilliant, McVay dialing this up, getting this ready for the entire game. You know, so we just talked about a lot of those kind of things, little delicate and the intricate details to this play. And so I think it's really good. If you can check that out, please do that. But anyways, during the game, it's toward the end, Golden Tate caught a pass that Jalen Ramsey obliterated him for. And this goes back into this beef between the two of them goes back into October of last year. It's about a year old. And it was because Jalen Ramsey was dating Golden Tate's sister. He had gotten Golden Tate's sister pregnant. And then he dumped her while she was pregnant. I forget what the reason was. I don't remember any of those details. I really don't care too much about those details. But Golden Tate said he's going to have to face me about it. You know, he's going to face me on the field. And Jalen Ramsey destroyed him. So after the game, Golden Tate goes after Jalen Ramsey and starts an all-out brawl between the two teams. I'm sure there'll be a bunch of fines that come out about that. But it was entertaining. It's like a WWE match. Oh, that was the big thing that really, to me, that stuck out in the NFL this year. It was kind of funny, or this week. We're through a quarter. The Eagles are leading their division with a 1-2-1 record. God help us all with the NFC East. That's about all the time that the show has for today. I hope that you guys have a good week. All right, seriously. Take it easy. Try not to work too hard. Let's get into the show. Let's get into the details of what we're going to see this week. All right. I think if there's anything you should be looking out for this week, if there's anything that you should do, watch the next Georgia game. I watched their Georgia-Auburn game. All right. And I was expecting a real fight. And what I saw was dominance. Georgia dominated Auburn. It wasn't even close. So watch the next Georgia game. Georgia is the team that we need to watch in the SEC East because it's them or Florida. When those two play, it is going to be fire. But anyways, you guys have a great rest of the week. God love you all. We'll be back on Friday with Justin Gamble talking more NFL draft, more stuff, more good content to get into. This is the John Vogel Show.